12:09 a.m. Saturday morning here on 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up late with us, everybody. My friend Robert Bartholomew is a professor, a book author, a writer of many important academic papers. He has many leather-bound books, all sorts of things like that. He's a very important man. And he taught me years ago here on the radio about something called mass hysteria. Robert Bartholomew, thanks for being back on the radio with us, sir. How are you?
Thank you. It's pretty normal here in New Zealand. I mean, there's no lockdown. There's no community spread. You get the people flying in occasionally who are isolated in hotels. And it's really business as normal and has been for the past couple of months here.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think there's a pandemic going on. You know, you're like that annoying neighbor with the really green lawn now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad
I'm going out after without a mask and just do basically what I want.
Well, I'm glad that that's working somewhere. It's not quite working here yet. As we've talked about many times over the last year and where we're at and where things are headed. And hopefully we're headed to better places. And hopefully, I guess we'll see in a month or two if new leadership means more stringent work by people here and how fast we can get the vaccine and how well the vaccine works and all of those things. But I'm glad it's going well in New Zealand. It has been a beacon of better things in the world. Although, you know, New Zealand, a lot smaller, a little easier to control. But the population, much more buying in, right?
Yeah, well, we have a big ocean around us. I mean, that's the big plus, isn't it? I mean, in terms of what's going to happen in the U.S., I mean, I shouldn't say this, but how much worse can it get, really?
Well, I who knows? The vaccine could turn out to be not that great. They could only last 6 months. You know, they could prove ineffective against various strains. I mean, things could get worse, right? You know, we thought after 2020, what could happen? And then we had a mob at the Capitol this week. So 2021 came in strong.
Yeah, I mean, Trump's got access to the nuclear code. So, I mean, what's to worry?
I know people are talking about that, but I think, you know what? I don't worry about anything like that. I think that, but I want to ask you about things like, you know, we've talked many times about mass hysteria, especially as it related to Havana and the alleged sonic attack. But I was thinking about you today as I'm reading about the mobs and these people who believe no matter what that this election truly got stolen. Now, I don't believe that President Trump truly believes the election got stolen. I believe that he thinks that is the best spin on him losing the election. The problem is that there are millions and millions of people who truly do hang on every word. I think he is creating theater for people. I think he is playing a character, but there are people who buy it lock, stock, and barrel. And I wonder about that mentality sometimes, that when everybody else says it's not that, it is not what that is. Here's the facts that as we know them. When even Republicans are saying it wasn't stolen, it was illegal, it was this. Why do people put everything else aside and go along with what somebody is saying?
I don't think this would have happened in the past, 30 years ago. I think it's possible Trump actually believes it. I do, because he watches Fox News. And it's an echo chamber that just reflects his own beliefs and eggs him on. And I think Fox News has culpability here as well. Before, at the end of the news, your news announcer there said that USC was playing against, I think it was Fort Wayne, and USC got beat, which surprised me. And this relates in the sense that context is king when you look at outbreaks of riots or mass psychogenic illness. With COVID right now, it may very well be. I used to think of USC as like a power team, but maybe they were missing some of their best players from COVID. You have to look below the surface. And you have to look at the context in which these things are occurring. It very well may be that Trump does know what he's doing. And when you look at things like crowds getting whipped up, there's been a lot of studies on this. You have structured versus unstructured in terms of how this plays out. But in recent years, things have changed because now you have crowds of people with mobile phones, with social media, and real time, you know, things that are going on. And it really changes things. And I think we need to study this more to have a better understanding of the impact and what's happening.
So you think that, I agree. I mean, I agree with everything you say, of course, because there's so many different ways to egg something on right now. And so the right leader saying the right things and finding the right people, I imagine a little bit cult-like, right? You have a group of people who are disaffected or a little lost or whatever it is, and you get the right group of people together who sort of find each other and all agree on these certain things or all were wronged in their minds in some way, and they get together and see this in each other, and that number grows and grows and grows, and there's power in this, and there's community, and there's all these things that maybe you're missing in regular life.
That's right. And there's also a degree, once it starts, there's a degree of anonymity where, well, I'm not going to get arrested. You know, there's 10,000 people here. And then you have this inhibition of doing whatever you want. What these people probably didn't realize was that maybe they did, that there's probably more cameras per square foot around the White House or the Capitol building than there was anywhere on the planet. So I think it shouldn't be that difficult to track these people down, which is a good thing. But, I mean, clearly Donald Trump incited a riot, as did his son and as did Rudy Giuliani. I mean, it's pretty clear cut there. What's going to be interesting will be to see if then before Trump leaves, he pardons himself and his relatives, and if that can really stick given the degree of what he's done, which is pretty serious.
Well, it will be interesting to see what will or won't happen with that, and hard to, you know, I don't know what kind of stomach Democrats have for dragging that process on. Of course, there's all the talk right now is that sometime on Monday or Tuesday, the House will bring new impeachment charges. The only reason I'm kind of interested in that, and I know they're saying, you know, this was a crazy enough incident that we can't just let it go. Even though he's got 2 weeks left, something has to be done. A statement has to be made. We have to set a precedent that this won't be tolerated. In general, these so many Republicans have stayed with President Trump, and some are clearly now starting to break. You're hearing bigger names come out against the president right now. And the one reason I think that impeachment might be interesting for the Republican Party is, I was saying this earlier on the show with another person we were talking to, that Donald Trump can hold the Republican Party hostage right now. He's going to stay as the de facto leader of that party for the next 4 years. But if they impeach and convict, I've read that he then couldn't run again. And that would free the party in some ways to rebuild itself and reform itself, because now he has no true power. He can still cause all sorts of problems, of course.
Yeah.
But if he couldn't run again, that really takes away so much of what he could do. Now, maybe they're still afraid enough of him that damage he'd do by supporting others or not supporting others or whatever it was. But to me, it would seem that some Republicans might get together and say, this is the only way for a lot of us to have our shots of getting better leadership positions, or of maybe, you know, getting the party back to a more, you know, more of what it's really, the conservative principles are really truly about.
Yeah, it gives them cover to be able to do that. I mean, I've heard experts say that, you know, Trump is going to continue to have a stranglehold over the Republican Party for years to come. I don't believe that. I look at this as a parallel with McCarthyism. And McCarthy was in there 3-4 years, and then he collapsed like a house of cards. And I think Trump has just gone a bridge way too far. It's just so over the top that I don't think he will ever recover. He will be a footnote in history very soon, after he's out of the White House. I really believe that. I know there's experts saying no. I disagree. I don't think he's going to have a stranglehold over the Republican Party. Not after you've done what you did. And then there's more and more footage coming out and evidence suggesting that he was trying to egg this on, you know, making calls into the Senate, while people were there sheltering in place and stuff like this. I just think it's so beyond the pale that there's no coming back from this.
Robert, if I had a dollar for every time during the election process in 2016 that people would have said, well, there's no coming back from this for Donald Trump, and he did. I know that this is another level and this is even higher, but I still think that this will just be one other thing in all of the craziness. And we have developed this really weird tolerance for things that never would have been tolerated from Clinton or George W. or Obama or George H.W. or any recent president. There's 15 things that would have killed any other presidency or killed any other chance for election that, for whatever reason, don't seem to come into play here. And I, you know, the only thing I think that stops President Trump from still having the stranglehold if he wants it is, does he still want it, or does he get bored of it once he gets out and gets his freedom back? I know he loves the attention and he wants to make money. He's a businessman. I think he's got to, it's got to be able to keep his attention for him to really want to keep doing all those things. But I mean, when you look at how many House members and senators were on board with contesting an election that they knew wasn't going to go anywhere, that was just out of fear of going against him or the belief in what will come as a reward if I stand up for him here.
You have to wonder, he's so adamant about staying, if he does have, and he knows he does have, a lot of liability, particularly in the states like New York, where when he leaves office on the 20th, he's liable. He can't pardon himself for state crimes, right? And he may realize that and be desperate to try to stay in power so they can't prosecute him. But, I mean, this has it really does have parallels with Hitler and how Hitler rose to power. And, you know, you can see how things can spiral out of control in a way that people never thought it would.
Yeah, I hate to make that comparison because it's so vile, but I understand, at least from a mentality standpoint of people following along with something you would never believe in rational times, they truly would. Now, some of that is probably an indictment of a segment of society, I guess, whose voices aren't heard, maybe because many people don't agree with them, but it's partly of you know, the parties ignoring certain people and only paying attention to the ones that have money or have the power they want. And somebody came along and realized they could cobble together enough disaffected people to truly make something large. And that's kind of what happened, I think.
I think we're going through an information crisis right now. And we have to sort this out with the social media, because the social media has been inflaming so much that would not have been inflamed in the past. I mean, you were mentioning at the top there about Havana Syndrome. And I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but in December, the National Academy of Sciences came out after being asked by the State Department to come out and release their report. And they released their report, the highest scientific authority in the United States released their report into Havana Syndrome, and they concluded it was most likely microwaves. And were you aware of that? Did you see that?
I didn't see that. So wait, so what you and I have been talking about the last few years, the incident in Havana, the alleged sonic attack that you have said there's no way this was mass hysteria, that our highest scientific body is saying it was microwaves?
They said it was most likely microwaves, although they couldn't be sure, and they said that mass psychogenic illness couldn't be eliminated, but they didn't have any evidence about the patterning of the case. And this report cited my research on mass psychogenic illness 11 times in like 80 pages. And they mentioned my research, and then conveniently, they never asked for my input. They never cited the book that came out. They claim they never saw the book. They never saw the research. The book was out like half a year before their report came out. And it's negligence It's negligence on the part of the National Academy of Sciences. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. There's no way that they can claim that they didn't know. The only book on the subject that's ever been published was published by myself and UCLA neurologist Robert Ballo. And they don't cite it, and they act like it didn't exist. But in that book, the same reason they gave for not being able to go along with the mass psychogenic illness hypothesis was in the book. We showed very clearly in the book the social patterning of the outbreak. And they were saying, well, we can't say mass psychogenic illness because we don't have any evidence about the social patterning. And the other thing is, a psychiatrist in the UK was on that committee, and they kicked him off right after he had publicly given a radio interview saying that he believed the most likely explanation was mass psychogenic illness. I mean, it's science being contaminated with politics, whether it's this, whether it's global warming. I mean, and this is a dangerous time because we've got this mixture of science and politics. And when this is happening with the nation's highest scientific authority, we are in serious trouble. We are in serious trouble. I'm telling you right now, your listeners, that Havana syndrome, the overwhelming evidence was it was mass psychogenic illness, and that they can come out and say microwaves, you might as well have said it was Bigfoot or space aliens. I mean, the evidence just is not there, and it's really remarkable. And you will see the wheels of science turn slowly, but they turn. And very clearly, whatever these people have come out and said, the evidence will come out, and it'll be clear in the next year or two that it was mass psychogenic illness, you know, once all this stuff settles down. But it's very disturbing, and it's very alarming to me that they can act like our book never came out. And who asked for that to be convened? It was the State Department. And the State Department has a stake to play in here because it's going to be embarrassing for the Trump administration when people find out that the sounds of crickets and cicadas were mistaken for a sonic attack. And that's what happened. And it's embarrassing, and it's embarrassing for Donald Trump. People know about it. They know that the Trump administration doesn't say they made a mistake. And this will eventually come out under Biden when the Freedom of Information Act documents are released. You watch. And when the FBI report is released, it's never been released. And if that report said that it was microwaves or it was a sonic weapon, you can believe they would have released it. But they never released the FBI report.
We're speaking with our friend Robert Bartholomew, who's a little bit heated right now. He's getting a little worked up. Some might say, I'm not going to do it, Robert. I'm not going to say you have mass hysteria. I understand that you are passionate about this. Let's talk more about it. We got to take a quick break for news and then more with Robert Bartholomew and the idea of mass hysteria and mob mentalities and ignoring what seems to be facts placed in front of us. Why do we do that? 312-981-7200. Six in the morning, 720 WGN. Matt Bubala here with you until 1. On the phone with us from New Zealand is Robert Bartholomew. He's the co-author of Havana Syndrome, Mass Psychogenic Illness, and the Real Story Behind the Embassy Mystery and Hysteria. That is available where books are sold right now. Robert, you gave an impassioned speech as we headed into news. Let me ask you this. Is there... So they said, well, we couldn't prove the patterns for mass psychogenic illness. You know, could be, but we don't really think. Did they have some sort of anything about the microwaves? Did they say, but, you know, with the microwaves, we've seen this before, or if you put microwaves in this pattern, this can happen. Was there any proof at all that something like microwaves could have caused that?
First of all, it doesn't appear that anyone on the committee is an expert on microwaves and the effect on health. They said it was the Frey effect. You know, you get this, which was described a number of decades ago. One of the people that was instrumental in understanding the mechanism of the Frey effect with microwaves, he's at the University of Pennsylvania, Kenneth Foster. And he said, it's definitely not microwaves. It's just fantasy. And so they were careful to say that, well, we can't say for sure. We can't say conclusively. And so why say it all then? And if you don't have enough evidence for to properly evaluate something like mass psychogenic illness, how come they asked experts on microwaves and they asked experts on sonic things, but they didn't ask anybody to speak on mass psychogenic illness, particularly ourselves? It doesn't make any sense. It's as if, you know, they didn't want to come out and say it was mass psychogenic illness. It's as if there's some politics involved here. I can come up with no other explanation. I mean, just imagine, you're doing an investigation, and a respectable scientist at UCLA who was involved in the first study, they asked him to evaluate the first study in the Journal of the American Medical Association back in 2018, and he rejected that study, and they published it anyway. So then he wrote a book with me about that and the dearth of evidence that was out there for sonic weapons. And you do this book, and your conclusion is it's mass psychogenic illness, and they don't even cite it in the report, even though the book was out for many months before they finished the report. And the chief medical officer of the State Department contacted me, and I told him that we've got this book coming out. And so how come they didn't cite the book? How come they're claiming they didn't even see the book, which comes to a conclusion different than what they came to? It just doesn't make any sense. The only way it makes sense is if politics has been mixed with science, and it suggests that when Simon Wesley, a leading psychiatrist in the UK, can do a radio interview, suggest that the evidence based on his analysis is most likely pointing toward mass psychogenic illness, and then they kick him off the committee. I mean, that's exactly what happened. That's not science, kicking people off committees because you have a certain perspective there, that you're interpreting the evidence a certain way, that you might not want it to go in that direction. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And not inviting us to give a presentation to the committee. I mean, it's negligence on the part of the National Association, of the National Academy of Sciences. I can see it in no other way. I just cannot understand how this happened in the United States, in the highest scientific body.
Well, Robert, so you're clearly very passionate about it, and I know that you're you've spoken about President Trump before. I'm going to take President Trump out of this for a minute. I imagine this type of thing, let's say any of the other recent presidents who maybe has an agenda with a nation. Let's say this was North Korea and it was President Clinton, and something like this happened in North Korea. You could see where they would say, you know what, looks bad for us if this is just mass psychogenic illness. We look like idiots. We set a sonic attack. Let's just stick with sonic attack. That probably happens from time to time, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I imagine that type of things happened many times over the years, and we just don't know about it. And my guess is this was more about, although surprisingly, President Trump had very little to do with Cuba over the years. I guess, you know, he did have a lot of flames, spears in the fire, but a lot of pokers in the fire, I guess. But I would imagine that Cuba was going to be somebody who they got involved with at some point, and this looked like a good way to reduce the opening up of those borders that we had done under the Obama administration.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that. I've heard scientists say that to me, that they think that that may have played a part here. The concern for me is, look, I have done many Freedom of Information Act requests on many different subjects and always eventually got the information. On this case, no one has gotten any FOIA documents on what happened in Cuba. They just haven't released them. And this is supposedly the most transparent, you know, you hear things like that, the most transparent administration in the history of the United States. They haven't released it. And I think you will see this released under Biden in pretty short time. And it's unprecedented just to hold these documents back. And I think the most likely plausible explanation is that it's embarrassing to the United States government. And so don't double down on this. Just, you know, we're just going to have to wait and get those documents. But the FBI did their report. And we know through Senator Jeff Flake, before he retired, he was the head of that committee. And he said that the FBI told him that they found no evidence of a sonic attack or anything untoward. And we do know that the FBI had about a dozen recordings of people who recorded sonic attacks when they were happening. And they all turned out to have been insect sounds. And there's a number at least 20 recordings that were made of people who recorded these attacks as they were happening by U.S. diplomats. And they were later analyzed by different agencies, and they all turned out to have been insect sounds. So that's very strong evidence for mass suggestion right there. But there's all sorts of other information as well, all pointing in that direction.